this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Dr. Martin Mendelson. I'm a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, thought leader, and author. And I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who is a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And if you're unfamiliar with us, we'd invite you to check out our respective links, websites, and course offerings on the wellnessindentistry.com website. And if you like what you hear here on our podcast, you can come join us in person this coming August 8th and 9th at Glidewell Dental Laboratory for our in-person experience called Lightside Live. It's one of the only in-person mental wellness courses for dentistry in North America, potentially the world. So if you're looking for more information on that, I invite you to go to wellnessanddentistry.com. Today, though, what we're going to be talking about is getting out of sticky note hell and how to come above and beyond your never-ending to-do list so that you feel like you're in a little bit more control. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So how you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing good. This is something that bothers me so much, strictly, not even from an organization standpoint, strictly mm-hmm. from a visual standpoint.
Yeah.
I think when patients come in, we need to give great first impressions that are professional, that are organized, that are relaxing. Mm-hmm. And when you come in and there's a Starbucks cup next to the mouse, and there's 9 different sticky notes in different colors, and there's 7 pens, I mean, the visual experience that the patient gets is already setting the tone that we are unorganized.
Yeah.
They
don't even get to see your office, which is even worse.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And then also from a organization standpoint, mm-hmm. I love having things organized. I think most people do, right? Most people would rather have things organized than disorganized, but there's different types of personalities. Mm-hmm. I like having minimalism with a minimal amount of sticky notes. I also like knowing what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, like for me, I live by my calendar.
Yeah.
I wake up going, what am I doing today? Mm-hmm. And if it's the night before, I can say, what am I doing tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't usually wake up saying, what should I do? You know, it's like I have it hour by hour, 15-minute chunks sometimes. So you are really the expert on this, though. Mm-hmm. You've really helped hundreds of teams with organization, with growing their practices. What is your thought with how to get out of this sticky note hell?
Yeah, well, it kind of
came up. Or maybe we should start with why does it exist? I don't know.
I think part of it exists. And, you know, when I say sticky note hell, I mean both sticky note hell as well as the never ending to-do list. So we'll just keep it with sticky note hell. I think it happens. And I respectfully say this because we're just too busy. And what I mean by that is we're clinicians and we're running the business. And so there are many times when it just seems easier to put something on a sticky note so you don't forget it, right? And so kudos to everybody that is jotting something down so you don't forget it. Because
instead of forgetting it, right?
Because you either write it down or forget it. It's, you know, one of the two things. But by the same token, when, you know, the phrase, when everything's important, nothing's important, mm-hmm. it's the same kind of thing. If everything has a sticky note, then everything needs to get done. And so the reason why we're even recording this topic today for this episode is because it came up again this morning with one of my coaching clients. And so this gentleman is a highly successful, highly organized individual. And yet we started going into some of these methodologies that we'll talk about today. I also have this on my online course as well, Leadership Mastery on my website. But there are some basic fundamentals that when you start to embrace, they can really change your life.
And is most of that making it both task oriented, and I think you have another name for this, but like job oriented, where it's like bigger ideas versus smaller tasks, and then prioritizing those tasks.
I think a lot of the concepts that I'll share here are from the book Getting Things Done by David Allen. And so the first thing is, wherever your to-do list is, however you house it, I'm a big fan of electronic capture systems. We'll talk about that. Nothing should ever go on a to-do list that isn't a singular actionable item. So what I mean by that is, let's say you need to hire a hygienist. What should never go on your to-do list is hire a hygienist. And but that's usually what it is, right? It's some global descriptor. What needs to go on your to-do list is your next actionable step. So if it's talking to your office manager about posting a job posting on Indeed, that's your next step. If it's doing it yourself to get an Indeed account, then that's what it is. So it's got to be the next actionable task. That alone can really change things, because think of it this way. You look at your to-do list and it's got all these global projects, as David Allen would call them. Project is defined as
That was the
something
word
that
I was
takes,
looking for, was projects, not job.
project is anything that takes more than one step. Okay?
Okay.
So if you look at your to-do list and all it is a whole bunch of projects that have three, four steps to them, how easily would you get overwhelmed?
Yeah.
And how easily would you say to yourself, I don't know what to do, I'm just going to look at Instagram. Right? So, but if you can do next actionable steps, then not only does that become more palatable, but when you start checking those things off or crossing them off, whatever you choose to do, now all of a sudden you feel a sense of accomplishment, which then spurns more activity. I mean, that's a very commonly quoted bit of research. Make your bed first thing in the morning. We don't need to go into that. We as humans, when we start accomplishing things, it creates motivation to allow us to accomplish the next thing.
Yeah.
So that's the first huge item. The second thing that a lot of dentists get in trouble over is the dance between the to-do list and your calendar. So I know how you use your calendar. You're putting, like you made a comment earlier, sometimes it's in 15-minute chunks. You're putting what you've assigned that time for and its task. Great,
Correct.
perfectly fine. What we shouldn't be doing is using the calendar as a to-do list. So you're creating a time-bound attachment to the task, which is great. But if you're just putting in your calendar, call accountant, but it's for the whole day, that shouldn't be on your calendar. It actually should be on your to-do list.
Okay. What if I had it on my to-do list, but then I put it on my calendar for a specific time?
That's great. That's time bound. That's
Okay.
perfect. Yep.
Yeah, I saw this idea of projects and tasks done really well in the tech world, and where I actually learned a lot from this. And there's a ton of different software that tech companies use, that Perl we used. I can't remember which one it was that we were using at the time. But it's exactly that. So let's say, at Perl, we were going to release a new feature onto the software. That would be the project, X feature. But underneath that, there may be 15 different things on there, and they're assigned to different people. And some of those even have subtasks that are assigned to different people, because of course this was a, it was getting to be a large company at times, so there may be 25 different people working on the same task. Like for example, in the software world, there's engineers that are actually developing stuff. There is, let's say, the marketing people that are going to be taking what's on there and then sending out emails or doing Instagram ads or talking to doctors. There's the sales team that needs to understand about it, train on it. There's the implementation team, right? So it's not only just getting that project released, but everything that comes along with that. And it was really great for me because I am one of these people that, let's say I do something like this, usually happens now on like a weekend. I have like a Saturday, my son doesn't have any games. I look at my calendar, I go, oh my gosh, we don't have anything. So I start looking at my to-do list, and then I take certain parts of this and I put this on a Saturday to-do list. Like my Saturday goals, they are mow the lawn, pick the weeds, go to Home Depot, get a new rake, and whatever, change the oil in my Vespa. And there's things that I will do in addition that I will add to the to-do list and then check it off.
Oh, 100%.
Just
This
to
is why we're
get that,
friends.
just to get that satisfaction. And I feel so good about checking those off, that those subtasks really make me feel like, wow, I've got some momentum going. This actually just happened to me yesterday, because actually today, the day this is coming out, the day this podcast is coming out, I'm doing one of my live webinars, which I do a few times a year. So the Mentally Resilient Dentist, it's about a month worth of work every time for me and my team, from setting up emails and ads and special offers and that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of emails that need to go out. There's sign up emails, then there's show up emails, then there's follow up emails. And I'm working on this with one of my team members, and every time we get one of those emails scheduled, it feels so great. 'Cause I'm like, okay, we started with eight. That my goal is eight. Now, okay, I did one. Okay, that's good. Hey, seven, only seven more. And but part of it, when I first start this project, it's funny how you're talking about it now as a project. I usually start a month before, is just setting down what needs to happen every time.
And I've heard people over the years go, "Well, doesn't that take a lot of time?" Yeah, so does searching for something that you can't find, right? And so does, spinning your wheels and saying, why am I not getting anything done, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things I love to talk about is just the electronic capture element of this. And so I'm a huge fan of Evernote. There's others, there's OneNote, et cetera, but I have a lot of experience with OneNote. And so what I want you to think about, if you're listening to us, is this is like a notebook with tabs, or it's like a file drawer with file folders and folders within the file folders, right? And so you can end up creating notebooks and then files within the notebook on anything and everything. And I go into a lot more detail of this in my course, but it's all searchable. And this can change your whole life. And so, like, one of the things I talk about in the course is, like, let's say you have instructions for a certain maintenance item on one of your pieces of equipment. So you can make a notebook for that piece of equipment. In there goes, guess what? The URL for where to find the information. You can cut or copy and paste certain steps you don't want to forget. You could put in the rep's name and phone number if you wanted. I mean, it is unbelievable. And when you pull up your computer, pull up your phone, because it's on any device that you have the app on, all you got to do is go to the search function and search for, autoclave or chair or mill, right? And it can change, first of all, the landscape of your desk, because all of a sudden you don't have all this stuff on there because it's stored. But the level of ease and organization that this gives you is second to none, And so you can make notebooks for your team. You can make, and have various HR links if you have those in there, and links to, certain forms that you've created. I mean, the sky's the limit, and it really allows you to stop worrying about everything. And within those folders too, if you have a project that's a little longer, let's say you're renovating your office, right? You can create a folder that, or a notebook that's, 2025 renovations. And then under that, think of it like individual pieces of paper in the file. It's like, here are my notes on the contractor. Here are my notes on the plumber. Here's my notes on, the three links to the sinks I like. Instead of having everything all over the place all at once.
So I'm so with you on the digital capture. I'm big on this. I always get in arguments with my wife and my dad about this because they're both very analog people. They like to write it down. And so many times, a good example is my wife will make a grocery list. We'll be in the kitchen. She'll go, "Hey, I'm going to the grocery store. What do we need?" And I'll be looking. "Oh, we need yogurt, or we need milk, and we need meat, and we need this." And then she gets to the grocery store, and she texts me and goes, "Can you send me a picture of my grocery list? I forgot it on the phone." And I'm always like, if you just made it on your phone, it would always be there, right? Because you're going to have your phone. My dad's the same way. With the digital capture, because I like that name, when something comes up, we want to write it down. So is it okay to have like a holding zone that is just like a drag and drop and figure it out later, and then go in and organize it more for priorities?
Absolutely. As long as, you're not going to let that go, because then that becomes electronic sticky note hell, right?
Right.
Euphemistically. But so the answer is yes to the direct question. I'll also say this, I'm a bit older than you are, and I used to be all analog as well. And I forced myself to start taking notes, particularly for all my certifications, on my computer in Evernote. And it's completely changed everything, because how many times have you gone to a CE course and you remember something if you've taken notes analog on paper, and you're like, where was that again? Where was that again? All you have to do is type it in a search bar and it appears. The example I use, it just happened to me last week. So I'm about to launch a book, and for people, for certain influencers, as well as people's who's been so kind to allow me to share their story in the book, I want to make these custom boxes. And so the box is going to have the book in it, so a limited edition coin, a thank you note, and some other stuff. And I remembered in one of my coaching programs that I took over COVID, that showed up at my doorstep, this custom-made beautiful box for the course. And I remembered that I took a note about where the source was. So this was a little note that I took in 2021. I picked up my phone and I put custom box in there, and up popped the URL. Go try to find that in a notebook from 2021. Good luck,
No,
right?
and the search function is really helping. That's even happening now in Dropbox. So I have a lot of my stuff in Dropbox, and of course there's other companies. Now Dropbox is using AI to analyze images. So if you type in playground on Dropbox, the name of the image doesn't have to be playground anymore. It could be, IMG 06459. But if the AI is seeing a playground, it will recommend it. So that's a really cool thing that technology is doing. Now, when we started this episode, I gave the example of the front office being sticky note hell. What you've been talking about mostly has been more on the doctor side. Let's say we doctors are organized, which isn't always the case. Let's say we are. And now we want to help our team members do that, both for their sake and for the optics and or general organization of the practice. How do you bring that up? How do you train someone on this?
I think how you bring it up is based on experience. In our live course, we go through crucial conversations, difficult conversations. So if there have been situations where balls have been dropped or things have been missed, then you can use those as a way to talk about it.
That's a great point.
Alternatively, if you observe or hear, or it's been shared with you that they feel like they got so much going on, they don't know where anything is, or they probably wouldn't say that to somebody who writes a paycheck, but something to that degree, you can use that as an example, or if it's observational relative to, all these sticky notes everywhere. I think part of it is too, like with Evernote, things can be shared. So you can actually make, if it's a team member, let's say, that has to do with practice initiatives, tasks, et cetera, those can be shared notes. So you can actually, everybody has access to it, which can be a huge benefit. So I think a lot of it has to do with the specific situation and addressing the challenge that they feel exists. Demonstrating that, because you use the scenario that the doctor's organized, let's say the doctor's using something like Evernote, it's like, look, I can just type in this and up it pops and blah blah blah, up it pops. Showing them how easier it is. And honestly, if it's a situation where you have a single employee overseeing a key critical singular task, then it becomes the protocol of the office. It's like, no, this is how we expect you to do it, period.
Yeah, I mean, at my practice many years ago, maybe like 2018, we started implementing Asana, which is another version of this, right? How to keep track of things. And we had a lot of their checklists that I talked about on our last episode. We had a lot of those checklists digitized so that they could be checked off too, so that they could say, oh, today's my day where I don't know, change the bottles, or, oh, it's my time in the afternoon to bleed the lines, right? And so it made it very easy for everybody to know what to do because you could tag people in things, you could assign tasks to people. And I think that goes back to what you and I always talk about, which is expectations, setting boundaries, having people know what they're supposed to, not even what they're supposed to, what they're expected to get done. Makes things very easy for the team to know what to do.
I'll give you an example. I mean, this is an extreme example, but I had a coaching client who had an office manager that was old school, and the office manager had been there a long time, and the office manager was using QuickBooks, and the QuickBooks was not the cloud-based version, and it was on the office manager's computer at home. And I said, look, I'm not sitting here claiming that there's any funny business going on, but at the very least, gosh forbid something happens to this woman, what are you supposed to do? You can't even get into your own books. Now, that's an extreme example, but it's thematically the same from my perspective, right?
So is this idea of getting out of this sticky note hell, is it number one, we need a system. Number two, that system involves projects and tasks. And then number two, those tasks and projects have to have priorities.
Yes, correct. So what precipitated this whole thing I shared, I was talking to a client earlier this morning because he has a really good handle on what needs to be done. And he said he would look at his lists and figure it out. And I said, well, how would it be for you if you started to chunk it by time more definitively? So for this happened to me the other week where estimated taxes were due. And I was thinking to myself, oh, it's on my to-do list for this week. And then I thought, wait a minute, it's not due for 3 weeks. I can put this on my calendar specific time for next week. Don't even have to think about it. And there was a couple of times during that first week where I was like, oh yeah, I got to pay taxes. Oh no, I don't have to worry about it. It's on my calendar. And then you relax. And to your point, there are some great systems like Asana. Or what's the one? Monday, I think there's another one. And honestly, they're great. And I avoid talking about them for individuals just because if you're that stuck in sticky note hell, I want to give you something more simplistic to start with, basically.
Well, I mean, I do a lot out of Apple Notes.
Yeah, a lot of people do. It's a great tool
I
and
mean, there's
it's
a lot of
simple.
things, and like you said, it's the function or the, sorry, the search tool is very easy. Like one of the things we do or that I do is I have a wellness and dentistry podcast topics thing where I drop stuff and Martin and I will discuss things. Oh yeah, we should do that. We should do an episode on that, or I'll make a little note. And then when we are looking through and deciding which topic we want to discuss, I just search wellness and wellness and dentistry note comes up
Absolutely.
and I do it. And on there, you can also do checkbox kind of things. Yeah, I don't think they're boxes. I think they're actually circles. So
They're
that's what threw me
bubbles.
off. But I mean, this is a very simplified way of doing it. But I think the goal of talking about this is that you don't need any special thing. You don't need to pay for anything, right? So there's free apps, there's things that come with your computer or come with your phones or, simple ones that may have paywalls on doing something more advanced. But for individuals, many times it's very simple. So I don't want you guys to hear this and think, oh gosh, I've got to pay for something else, you know?
So, can we talk about email for a minute? Because this is another big
Yes.
one. So, talk about, not getting fancy. Everybody has an email client, whether it's Outlook, Gmail, whatever, doesn't matter. And this might blow some people's minds because how many times have you seen a colleague, well, actually, maybe you, that has a lot of emails, right?
I do.
Yeah. And so you can create folders within your email to reduce your stress in life. So for me, as a speaker and a facilitator, I have a year folder, and under that is every gig or every engagement by month. And in those folders goes any and all emails about that engagement, and it never sits in my inbox. So if I have, between coaching clients and speaking gigs and workshops, if I had 50, 60 engagements in a given year, what would my inbox look like? Like, holy smokes. This way I drag and drop everything over to the folders and we're done. But here's where things get even more interesting and easier. How many times have you sent an email to somebody that necessitates a response? And then 3 weeks later, you go, did I ever hear from them? So David Allen's concept of a waiting folder changed my life completely. If I send somebody an email, particularly if it's a important email, I'll put that in air quotes for those that are listening on Audible only. I'll BCC myself. Why? Because then it automatically gets dumped into my inbox instantaneously, right? Then I drag it over to my waiting folder. And then once a week, I look at my waiting folder. And I have been complimented so many times, I've lost track about my ability to maintain communication. And it's largely due to that one folder called waiting. Period.
That's a great tip.
Yeah. Now I've gotten a little bit more sophisticated with it. I now call it follow-up, and I have it kind of segregated a little bit more depending on what it is. But you don't need to do that. The other thing, or the other folder that's been really helpful is certain types of reference folders. So let's say you meet with your financial planner once a quarter or twice a year, whatever, and you got an email with, let's say, the link to it, because a lot of dentists don't use Outlook calendars. They just don't. You can drag that email with the information for the login to your reference for calls folder. And then when the meeting comes up, you just go to that folder and there it is versus searching, 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 searching for a specific email.
In that case, because I'm a person who lives by my calendar, because I had the because I would have the call on my calendar. I would have copied the link and
You could do that too.
put it on the calendar link.
You could do that, but sometimes there's other information in emails that you want to reference during the call, PDFs or whatever
Which I
else.
also put on my calendar.
Okay. Which you can, and this can take a, well, I guess they're all about the same amount of work and steps, because let's say you get an invitation from your financial planner. They put it that then therefore gets dumped on your calendar. Okay. You don't own that invitation. So what you could do is you can just create a secondary meeting that's in parallel and just simply put info in ref. That's my note to myself. And I know that, oh, it's in my call file instead of the other things. You can go either way.
I
But
think the lesson is that being organized takes work.
it does.
Being organized isn't passive,
Now.
although it can get more passive once you do the hard work up front.
Oh, 100%.
It's like
100%.
get organized, create the buckets, create the systems. I mean, this is like
Amazing.
anything in dentistry, right? Or in life. Create the systems, and then 80% of that is done
Yeah.
if you're staying on that same system.
Absolutely. I mean, I just hired a bookkeeper recently. Thank you, Kyle. It's your bookkeeper.
You're welcome.
And so we're establishing systems right now with Google Drives and receipts and those kind of things. And so I'm starting to get into this rhythm. So when I come home from a trip, I scan everything in and I just drag and drop to the Google Drive, and then she's got it and we're all set. And so that's kind of a system in and by itself. And that's saving me gobs of time. And so, back to your statement just from a moment ago, yeah, it takes some time. Yes, it's not passive, but it also is, gives you the benefit of reduced stress, increased productivity, decreased lost time. Because I don't know about you, but in fact, I say this on camera in my online course probably one too many times. The search functionalities and email clients like Outlook suck.
Oh, Gmail's terrible too.
And so, how many times have you been looking for an email? You know it's there and you can't find it. That's what the folders completely eliminate. Because if you're up with your folders and you're putting things into folders, then you go to look at the folder. You don't have to search when it comes to email. And it just it it's a complete game changer. Complete game changer.
I think what we should do is give maybe two real-world
Sure.
examples that would have been a sticky note, but based on this new style of what we're talking about, will be more organized. So, could you give maybe one from a doctor standpoint and one from a front office team standpoint? I can think of a front office team one, but.
Well, why don't you give me ideas? Why don't you hit me with the scenario, and then I'll tell you how I'd handle that.
Yeah, I think. A big one is, John calls and says he wants to get in or he wants to be on the emergency list, which is like, you have an opening for a, he really wants to get a cleaning. Been too long and, you're booked for the next 3 weeks, but if anything opens up, to call him.
So that'd be a front office person.
Yes.
Okay. So the first thing I'd say is a lot of the practice management systems have those kind of wait lists. But if they don't, and I'm glad you asked me this in this way, you can end up keeping a list, let's say on a notepad within, the practice management software. Some of them have them, or you keep it outside of it, in like Notepad if you're running with Macs, right? Now, the reason why I'm glad you brought this up is this. With your to-do list, and David Allen talks about this as well, he kind of talks about it as chunking things based upon where you are and in your office, at home, that kind of thing. So you can actually have a list of these individuals that is its own list, meaning, this is the wait list for patients, right? A lot of people have done that for years on paper, right? They're just like, I'm going to call this person. So,
Yeah, because what I was thinking in my head, giving you this scenario, was the front office member is writing down John, hygiene, ER, right? And it was a sticky note, literally. Or maybe they wrote it down digitally in like a dump something. What do they do next?
In terms of,
So they've written down John needs to come in, right? And let's say it's literally on a sticky note. Okay. But now they want to get rid of that sticky note. So that should go into the ER call list if they have that in their practice management system. And then they have to then remember when there is an opening to go to that list.
Well, they would have to remember that regardless of where their list is captured.
Yeah.
So what I would say is if for whatever reason you weren't using your practice management system for this, which look, they all have this functionality, but you're right, a lot of times it ends up on a sticky note. If for some reason you're not using it, then, depending on the system you're using, because you could also put Evernote on that
Yeah.
terminal
Computer.
that's up at the front desk or computer, sorry. You could actually have various notebooks. And so you could have a notebook for a waiting list. And then the notes inside would be for hygiene, for restorative, for crown and bridge, for endo, for you see what I mean? So in that example, using Evernote, you have a notebook for wait list, if you want to call it that, i.e. patients waiting to get in sooner, you have an opening on your schedule that is long enough for X type of procedure. You go to the notebook, go to the note for that type of procedure, and there's a person's name.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned all the different types of procedures because it's assuming, well, I guess not assuming, but I assumed that this fictitious office has block scheduling. So,
Well, it's not even block scheduling necessarily. It could just be time. Like you had a cancellation for an insert that canceled and you only have a half hour. Well, you're not going to bring in a crown prep.
And that makes total sense.
Yeah.
That makes total sense. Okay, let's do a dentist owner example. Do you have one, or do you want me to think of one?
I'll give you one. They come into their office and there's five sticky notes on their desk from various team members about things that need to be done. Okay. So you take a look at those sticky notes and then you account for them as appropriate. So what do I mean by that? You could, if it says, this piece of equipment is acting up again. We need to call repair, but it's not down. And your admin day is on Friday. You can do one of two things. You can put that on your to-do list, call Patterson, or you can put it on your calendar at 8 a.m. on Friday because that's your admin day because you intend to call Patterson at 8 a.m. on Friday. Okay? If it's Mrs. Jones called and she was just in and she's having pain, then that would go on your to-do list for stuff that has to get done today. So if you look at my to-do list, it has today, this week, this month, and then within there, it has varying other things. So in other words, it's like, if I have four emails to send on a given day, it'll say today, emails, Tom, Dick, and Harry. I don't get crazy with the detail on there because think about it, I don't need to. Right? So that's how I would handle those.
You could, on those emails, you could draft them in your specific software, even, right? And then when it comes to sending it, you could copy it and put it in there.
And we could do a whole nother thing on AI and increase in efficiency for email. Like, holy smokes. I mean, I would say probably 50% of my email today is I will copy the email, I will throw it in a ChatGPT, and I will say, please provide a professional, friendly, and depending on the situation, and humorous response. My intention is to blah, 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 blah. And I'm speaking this into my computer, and it spits out the other end a beautifully written email that's grammatically correct. And then I copy and paste and I'm done. So it literally takes me half the amount of time to answer almost any type of email. But that's a whole nother topic. So.
Yeah, as you were talking about this, I was thinking of one of my three tenets: expectations, boundaries, communication. And I see a lot of this as boundaries with yourself.
Oh, amen.
Because when you were talking about, today I need to get these three things done, it's very easy to say, well, I kind of just want to look at my phone right now, or, let me get distracted with this or that. And a lot of it is keeping your promise to yourself.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's maybe one of the hardest ones.
Absolutely. And what you'll also find when you get into this kind of thing is the specificity of the next task can really be cool because let's say you can't finish the whole thing, but you did part of it. So I'll give you an example. I had committed to make this signage for one of my clients and one of my concepts, NBCA, Notice, Breathe, Commit, Act. And so we were on a team Zoom, and I said, hey, would you like me to make some laminated cards? So when you're in the moment, it'll remind you. They're like, oh my God, that would be great. So I had make cards, laminate cards, send cards. Okay. Excuse me. Make, laminate, go to post office and mail because I didn't know how much it would be. So I made them, I checked it off, felt good. I then laminated them, which I then did while I was like watching television the other night. That was my choice. Checked that off. And so it kept me grounded and it kept me going, because if what was on my to-do list was make and send NBCA cards, that's when I would have been more likely to just look at my, phone and doom scroll, because I would look at it as a task that would take me a larger period of time
And go, oh gosh,
versus
that
the
is,
3 minutes to make it and print it, and then later on I can laminate it in that example.
I think this has been a good topic. I think this is something that every human really needs to hear. I mean, even you and I that have put a lot of effort into this, we can always get better at this. But in the dental world, what I see is everyone's distracted. Everybody's working so hard and doing so many things at one time that this starts happening and then it becomes normal and then it's accepted. So I think the first thing is having the awareness. So, hopefully you're listening to this podcast, and I hope that you don't come into your practice tomorrow and you see a bunch of sticky notes. But if you do, hey, use that as a positive learning experience and say, oh, you know what? Maybe it's really time that I take an admin day if you don't already. And on this admin day, one of the things I'm going to do is establish a protocol for organization in our practice. And start with yourself. I mean, the best way to start with yourself, learn through your own experience, and then start spreading the knowledge through your team and your colleagues.
And I would recommend pick up the book, Getting Things Done by David Allen. Look up some of the YouTube videos on it. There's a bunch of people that have done those like animated flowcharty kind of YouTube videos. I love those. Contact me. I have my online course as well, but I guess my parting words would be, how much stress due to our own choice of disorganization are we willing to endure before we make a change? That's my question.
I think that's a great way to finish. And listen, if you guys liked this podcast or any of our podcasts, send it to a colleague. I know if I have colleagues or friends that send me a podcast, it goes to the top of my list. That's the least you could do for us. That's not the least you could do. That's the least that we are asking for you to do, would be to just send this to a colleague, help us spread the word. We love getting messages from everybody saying when they really appreciated an episode. And like Martin mentioned, if you want to spend 2 days with us and get 12 CE credits, make sure to go to wellnessanddentistry.com, go to our links, and you'll be able to see our next course, which is happening August 8th and 9th in Irvine, California. That's 20 minutes from Disneyland and 20 minutes from the best beaches on the West Coast. So we hope to see you there. And as of the day of this recording, we still do have a early bird discount. So make sure to get that early bird discount before that expires in, I don't know, maybe a week or so. So go to wellnessanddentistry.com and we'll see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry.
Bye-bye.